It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted.
It was a cold, snowy, and stormy day this January. Had a couple come in. They're about my age. Good friends, actually, who are clients. And as we went through their normal, you know, financial planning portfolio review, the topic of risk management and insurance, and I've been helping them for a while, so I know that they're in good order and everything. The one thing we hadn't covered was long-term care insurance. And so when we brought it up, I didn't even get past asking why they were acting the way they were acting. But they immediately said, you know, we have two parents out of our four parents that are right now needing care, and it's starting to drain their investments, each one on one side. So it was appropriate for me to, you know, bring this up because they actually are now witnessing, and we are kind of at the age. You're not quite there yet, but, you know, Bruce,
I'm past the age.
Yeah. of why this is such an important thing. It touches everybody's life. We all have aunts or uncles or parents or, you know, friends' parents. And I'm experiencing it right now with a lot of my friends' parents as to why this is such an important topic. So we thought it would be great to do a podcast on this. And what better way than to bring in an incredible expert. And so we have a guest today. His name's Bruce Hirsch. Bruce and I have been doing business together in various ways of insurance for over 15 years. So Bruce, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. In the industry, I'm known as a brokerage general agent, which means I wholesale products to people like Ed, independent financial planners and independent agents. I've been doing it, seems like forever, 42 years. I own my own firm. I'm partners with one of the largest insurance marketing organizations in the world. We do more production than most insurance companies. And after being in it for 40 plus years, I've pretty much seen it all in terms of what's going on in the life insurance, long-term care, disability income marketplace. And that's what I do. I don't do much direct production, but I assist agents to help their clients fulfill their financial plans.
Yeah, and we're examples of that, James and I are, and we appreciate what you're doing for us.
Yeah, we're very blessed to have you and your expertise. And one of the things in the last couple of years that you educated me on are the scary statistics out there, right? People are living longer. Yep. And advances in technology. And so this is causing a much bigger need for long-term care.
Well, they're living longer, but not necessarily healthier. And that's putting financial pressure on everybody and the insurance companies and the pricing of the products too.
One of the numbers you had kind of educated us on was the 75 over 65. Mm-hmm. And that was like, I couldn't even believe it. What does that mean?
Okay. Well, first off, everybody has a 50-50 or better chance of having a chronic illness event in their life that will require assistance, long-term care. Mm-hmm. Once you make it to 65, and I'm 67, almost 68, you have a 75% chance of having a chronic illness event. The longer you live, the more likely it is that you're going to have a chronic illness event that's going to require assistance. So if you think you're going to you live a good, healthy lifestyle and going to live a long time, the odds of you having an event go up and up and up.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, when I heard that one, I knew it was high, but like, that's really high. I mean, yeah.
And if you make it to 75 and 85, the numbers just skyrocket to almost, right. You know, everybody needs it.
So let's pull up this slide. So this slide here has a couple more statistics that you're talking about. So Bruce, when you see some of these numbers, what sticks out to you?
Well, I'm not a numbers guy. I am a numbers guy, but I'm not a numbers guy. We can bury everybody in statistics, but the harsh reality is they're very sobering. Everybody's going to need it, or 2/3 of us are going to need it at least over the course of our life, and it's going to be a very expensive outcome.
Well said. So let's take a step back now. Basics of a long-term care policy. So I'm thinking to myself, I need this. I realize the importance of it. How does it work?
Okay. They're all very standardized now in terms of the claims process. Everything is partnership approved, which means it has to go through the state, and they're very, very similar from that standpoint. There are specific triggers that you have to have to get a benefit out of a long-term care policy. They called daily living activities, activities of daily living, ADLs. And there's 6 of them. And they're toileting, bathing, continence, transport, eating. And, you know, the things that everybody has to do in their daily activities. And if you fail 2 out of 6, like I can't bathe and I can't toilet, which are 2 different things, continence, you know, if you're running around and it depends, but you can't toilet, that triggers the benefit. There's also cognitive impairment. If you're a hazard to yourself, that's going to trigger benefits. So Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, stuff like that will automatically trigger
benefits.
Doctor's
note, I'm guessing, would qualify.
Qualified medical professional.
Sure.
Yes. And it's not arbitrary. The states have come in and they've made this very, very standardized. So there's no messing around. The insurance companies are not getting out of paying the claims. They are paying claims. We're seeing them all the time. So it's 2 out of 6 ADLs and or cognitive impairment. And then you get to talk about how they're paid, and you know there's differences between product types.
So when you fail 2 out of 6, that triggers the option to pay out the benefit based on the policy that you have.
Yes.
Got it.
And then all the options on the policy we'll get to in a little bit. Right. But like, what about like when should people start thinking about exploring maybe purchasing this?
I look at it similar to retirement. When do you start planning for your retirement? Because this should be part of your retirement package. Now, everybody assumes I'm not going to need this till I'm age 80. But sometimes bad things happen early. It happened to my sister, and we all know examples of that where she had an event when she was just over age 50. Cost millions of dollars and ended up dying out of it. So, but you have to plan. The earlier you plan, the more advantageous the whole situation is. One, the pricing is less. You have more time to sock away the money, just like when you're planning for retirement. The premiums are less. You're more likely to get approved for coverage. I see a big difference in the ability to deliver product to people based on age. If I'm dealing with somebody 50, 55 or so or younger, I get 80% of everybody approved. Going from 55 to 65, all of a sudden I get to like 50%, 55%. At 75 or older, more likely than not, I'm not able to get you coverage.
For sure, that makes sense.
So underwriting comes into play with a lot of this decision-making process.
Yeah, yeah. It's a massive piece to the puzzle. And, you know, I remember one of the most concerning questions people ask when they think about their retirement and what problems could arise from retirement is the cost of healthcare. Mm-hmm. Now, people think of the cost of healthcare from a Medicare standpoint only, but they tend to overlook what happens when the spouse is gone and I'm unable to care for myself and I don't have that support. And that's when things can go awry. So that's what we're talking about here.
And there's a real important issue. People think that Medicare, Medicaid will cover these expenses, and they don't. They don't even come close. You have a very limited number of days of care, and they normally have to be associated with a hospital stay or some specific triggering event. So if you're in a nursing home for years, that's not being covered by Medicare or Medicaid. And even if it was, the nursing homes that accept Medicare or Medicaid, you don't want to be in. Right. Especially if, you know, your clients are hopefully affluent. That's why we're talking in the first place. They're planning for the future. They're planning for a good future. They don't want to go to the nursing homes that, frankly, smell funny.
Right.
And being generous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've all discussed, like, what are the cons of this type of insurance? And really, the con is that it costs money.
Cost.
Yeah. And got to work it in the budget.
Got to work in the budget. It's a trade-off. And that's actually something that I was able to do with this couple when they expressed this about their parents. They were like, we'd really like to look into this. And so what we did was we figured out, and Bruce helped us find a policy. It cost a certain amount of money. We then showed them investing that much less money in their investments. And for them, it was about a year and a half longer. And then they were able to retire. It took them a year and a half longer to invest a little bit more money. But now they have the peace of mind and they're able to know that their nest egg's never going to run out for this reason, which is a huge peace of mind, especially for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a big point. You know, a lot of the deterrence we receive is, well, it's expensive. Well, the benefit is massive. And so you're comparing the two. And that's when we go back to making sure it fits in your cash flow. And if it's an important part of that for you, if it's a big concern, you know, you got to take it seriously. This isn't just, oh, see what happens. You know, this is life.
It's more than just money. I work with a wide range of advisors and clients, from well-to-do to ultra high net worth clients. And even the ultra high net worth clients, you can joke that they could buy the nursing home. They buy these policies because of the administrative benefits that are embedded in those policies. They don't want their children to have to take care of them. They don't want their children to have to be on point to make these critical decisions in their life. Also, when you get to that point, you're not able to make those decisions quite often. And having a policy means that you have a service department behind you, run by a very large insurance company with hundreds of people that are behind this, that work to make sure that you get the support you need. That if you need something from a specific, you know, facility, they'll get it for you.
That's a huge benefit.
Yeah.
That people do not take into account.
Yeah.
Which is having all of, because they're experts at this.
Right.
They know exactly. Now, they have a vested interest, right? But they want to make sure that everything is being taken care of in the right way when it comes to that. And mm-hmm. that makes sense compared to, like, if I had to do it for my parents, I would be like, oh my gosh, I got to start at ground zero.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's never you and your sibling, or three or four if you have multiple kids. The kids will take care of me. No. It's one kid.
Right.
It's always one kid. And then there's the strife between the kids, because the one kid's like always running after mom and dad. And then the others feel guilty. And you just don't want to have
to. Well, mom and dad, oftentimes we see this, don't want to be a burden to their kids. If they can, and this is a huge way to help prevent that.
Yeah. Think of the ego here. Think of dad. I supported everybody my whole life. Now you got to take care of me. Mm-hmm. That's not happening.
Right. Okay, so let's go to the different types of coverages, the ways that we can actually access long-term care. It used to be one way, but now we've got some options, right?
Yeah. Traditional long-term care, that's what we're all used to talking about. It's a health insurance product. You typically buy monthly benefit times a number of years. You put an inflation rider on there because healthcare costs are going up 5 to 8% every year. So we always put that on there. It is a form of health insurance. So like health insurance, there are pros and cons. One, it's not guaranteed. Rates go up. We've seen this happen over the years. I think modern products should be very stable. Companies have had 2.5 decades of putting these products out there in mass, maybe a little bit more, and they've learned from the original pricing models and they learned from their mistakes. So I anticipate reasonably stable rates. Think five.
You mean kind of like a inflation amount adjusted?
Well, no, the actual premium. Premiums are built to be level, or, you know, set within a certain framework.
Okay.
If an actuary misprices it, it's health insurance. They can raise the cost. So if you were paying $10,000 a year, maybe it goes to $11,000. Some older generation products went from $10,000 to $20,000. Wow. Deal with an 80-year-old saying why your premium went from $10,000 to $20,000 is not a good conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're ever going to see that again. There's a number of dynamics that go beyond the scope of this podcast that drove a lot of that. But 5 or 10%, oh yes. So it's not guaranteed. There's a newer generation of products, hybrid products. They're actually on a life insurance chassis. And they have a couple advantages and disadvantages. The advantage is they're fully guaranteed. company cannot change the rates. Once you buy that $10,000 rate, you have a $10,000 rate. Done.
So when you say life insurance chassis, you mean it's combining the long-term care insurance and you have both benefits as a component.
Right. So
long-term care and life insurance.
Long-term care and life insurance. So you have all the features of a traditional long-term care policy, pays out all similarly, in some ways better. They tend to be indemnity-based versus reimbursement-based. In other words, if you bought a $10,000 a month benefit, you're going to get $10,000 a month. The traditional product is if you went to a nursing home, you have to work just like a health insurance claim. Maybe they spent $7,000. They're going to get the $7,000, not the $10,000. $10,000 is just out the door. So you don't have to worry about it. You can use it however you want, which is a big advantage if you need to, I need to build a wheelchair ramp in the house.
So flexibility, like a lot more flexibility.
Much greater flexibility. It also is, because it's on a life insurance chassis, it's not use it or lose it. If I can design a traditional long-term care and we went up on an airplane and the airplane crashed, we could spend $10,000 a year for the next 20 years and put $200,000 and never get a cent out. Mm-hmm. This will have a $200,000, give or take, death benefit to it. So you can't lose money. These policies are built so you can't lose money. It may not be the best return.
Right.
And that's your job.
Right.
But you can't lose money on them. So they're very, very stable. Mm-hmm. And that's probably 70 to 80% of the long-term care policies that we're selling these days. Younger clients, those 30-year-olds we were talking about, that really don't want to think about, but will buy life insurance. Life insurance has a linked benefit component where they can put a long-term care rider that accelerates the death benefit. So if they bought $1 million policy, they have $1 million pot of money that can be used for long-term care.
So those are the three main types.
Yes. And for working within portfolios, we see that hybrid product being the most desired, most sold.
Yeah, you said 70, 80%. That speaks volumes to the desires for folks.
Yeah. So if I'm dealing with somebody that's really started the conversation saying, I want long-term care, not life insurance, but I want long-term care, 70% or so are going to these hybrid products.
Yeah.
And they're just so stable. And stability is important, especially when you're talking about your retirement and retirement planning, not knowing that that cost can't go up.
You know, it's funny because a lot of the questions we receive from our clients, which to your point, we're talking two different languages, is when you're purchasing life insurance or long-term care, any insurance, it is insurance. Mm-hmm. And people will ask me, well, what if I took that $10,000 a year that I would pay and I invested it? We're talking two different scenarios. You're buying insurance for that peace of mind, for that bigger picture, part of your overall plan. And that's something to just key stay in that lane when you're talking about it. And then we can look at how to optimize everything else, but it's part of the big picture.
Well, it's part of the financial planning picture that we always talk about. And one bucket is the risk management bucket, is the insurance risk management bucket. And that's why we make sure that you get all your bases covered when it comes to all the different areas of insurance. I mean, if you're underinsured, you don't have an umbrella policy and somebody falls and breaks their neck at your house, you could lose a lot of your portfolio. If you get sick and you need long-term care, there's just so many ways we have to, and a lot of people hate paying for insurance, but you know what? They're really happy when they need to use it. And if we can set you up so you can still retire, be comfortable, and still have to pay for this, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of a diversifying your portfolio.
That's right. Yep.
You know, there's always that better investment. I run into it from the life insurance side too. We can always buy more. We can invest more and have a better return over a period of time. You just don't know though. Right. So asset diversification is a good thing to have.
So what's the process at the end of the policy? You know, like when you're needing to use it and it pays out. I mean, can you kind of walk us through how that works?
Sure. You or your designee and long-term care, they always have a second, you always appoint a trustee, a daughter, a son, somebody that helps you manage this so the policies don't accidentally lapse. So there's somebody out there.
Good point.
But, you know, and there's,
getting older, I might forget about it, right?
Right. You might forget about it. You might forget a premium payment. It goes to a second person to make sure the premium payment's made. And then it's just really an 800 number call. You know, mom or dad need help. we think we satisfied the needs on this policy. We hit two out of the six ADLs, mom's got Alzheimer's, something like that. And policy service department will engage with you and work it through on that basis. Again, I live this world. I see the payouts. I see the claims, and they happen fast.
That's good.
Yeah.
Seems
you,
not
you,
good,
you do need, yeah, it's bad, but, but you know, as soon as you can get, you know, they want a qualified medical opinion that you can't. So they're going to ask your doctor. They're going to ask a nurse to certify that you can't do two out of six ADLs. They don't want to get involved with insurance fraud. Nobody wants to get involved with fraud. But beyond that, as soon as you're past fraud, these policies kick out. You typically will have a waiting period that you'll buy into. And the longer you can support yourself, the better it's going to be for you because the premiums are less. So if you go to a 0-day wait versus a 90-day wait, most of our clients go to 90 days. You're, you know, at 90 days, you start that clock running. We certified 90 days later, you get your benefits.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about like taking care of people at their home or whatever?
Yeah. Modern policies do not make a distinction between the setting. So as a matter of fact, we can get accelerated benefits. You have to pay a little bit more for home, but home health care is important. People want to age in place. The insurance companies want you to age in place too. It's typically a lower cost option than having to put you into a facility. Especially if you're married, you don't want mom to have to go into the nursing home and you're going to be home. You want to be together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, they give you discounts for that. If you buy policies on a husband and wife, or and if you're cohabitating, you get significant premium discounts because they know there's less likely going to be a claim. And if the claim is there, it's smaller because you're going to take care of your loved one.
Also, when we purchase these, I know you, because you've helped me understand this, these coverages, if there is a couple and they're both interested in getting this, they can buy it as like a couple, right?
Yes.
They can both have this.
We have joint policies.
I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, I like the joint policies. There's a big pricing advantage versus individual policies. They also have shared care. So if one of the two go and use up all of their benefit and there's still benefit on the other side, they can invade that. They can use part of the spouse's benefit. If somebody dies before using up their benefit, that benefit rolls over to the surviving spouse.
Yeah, that's nice.
So you always joke, you go to a nursing home and you see 70 little old grandmas running around and 30 guys. You know, we're not going to be in there for a long time. But
why are you pointing to me? And
he's young. Okay, I'll point to myself. But, you know, the unused part of mine, because I'm going to stroke out. In my mind, I'm going to stroke out because I'm never going to go into a nursing home, right? I'm never going to be on claim.
Right.
I realize that the odds are different, but I'm never going to be on claim. But if I buy a joint policy, then my surviving spouse has a bigger policy to pull from.
Right. I get it.
So it's really the benefit times two for any of the two, any of them, each of them.
It's just much more cost effective.
Yeah. Yeah. Something to consider. So well put there. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, I'm hearing a couple of things. I am hearing when you start retirement planning is the time to get serious about this, if not sooner. I am hearing that, believe it or not, you are going to need some form of long-term care before you pass away. And that's just the nature of life at this stage of the game. And I'm hearing as well, peace of mind is what this can do for you. And
portfolio stability. I mean, just financial stability. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only other thing that people come up to me a lot with is, how long am I really going to be in a nursing home? How long am I going to need the coverage? Yeah. And we can talk about averages, and I don't like, you know,
we saw the 1 to 2 years is on
there. 1 to 2 years. Yeah. But yeah. You know, typically we're talking 18 to 26 months or so on average, but you don't want to be the one that's in there for 5 years without coverage.
Quality of life.
Yeah. You know, it's, you need to, you don't want to outlive your benefit. Yeah. I would plan on 5 years. 6 years maybe, but 5 years of coverage is probably a pretty good yardstick to go by.
Well, lots of incredible information. This has been super helpful. I will conclude this podcast with that same couple 4 months ago that came in on the snowy, cold day. You have helped us get them a policy. They're doing the hybrid version where they're getting the life insurance and the long-term care. And it's going to be, we utilized it in their situation and he's willing to work an extra year and now they're going to be set and they have peace of mind around all that. And it did exactly everything we talked about today. So I appreciate all the help that you've done in this area with us. And hopefully this is going to be helpful for others to learn about.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. With all that, it is time for, we have yet to tell you about this, Bruce.
Yeah, you better tell
Ed's them. Food for thought. So once every podcast, Ed really thinks about what is the most important thing I want to talk about today. It's food.
So Bruce, you don't know this, but maybe you do. I don't know. I love food. I love cooking. I'm not a foodie. My friend told me you're not a foodie. You're a chow hound. I just love to find things. And so this winter, every February, I go down to Florida to visit a variety of clients in the warm weather. And
good timing.
I went out to lunch with this couple and went back to their house. And the wife had decided to bring out a nice dessert. And I'd never had anything like this before. And it was something called an affogato. Do you know what an affogato is?
Never heard of it.
Say that five times fast.
I had never heard of it either. And whenever I say it, and I what it is, either people are like, you don't know what that is, or they're like you and me. And you know, and so it is in a coffee mug, a scoop of vanilla ice cream with espresso poured over the top.
Huh.
And so if you like coffee, as I was drinking it, I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. It's like coffee that's real sweet and it's got a little cream into it. And then as the whole ice cream melted, it was like this like coffee milk. And the whole thing was awesome. Maybe part of it had to do with it came out in this beautiful cup. So, Anne, thanks. Thanks for the idea. And I'm going to put up the recipe. I mean, it's a real easy recipe, but I've had a couple
espresso
more.
Espresso and vanilla ice cream in a mug?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
what I'm hearing?
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
You could probably do a couple, you know.
I've actually done that without ever knowing the name of it because I didn't have milk or cream in the house. I just threw vanilla ice cream
it's
in it.
It's called the Hershey.
It's really good.
Hershey.
Hershey bar.
His last name's Hershey.
Throw a little chocolate in
that
there.
That was funny.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love it. Well, we'll definitely put that up in case you didn't catch wind. But other than that, thanks everyone for watching.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Talk to you next time.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.